It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the studying of the Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Jonah, chapter 4. We're going to read verse 1 through 11. If you'd please find that in your Bibles. I always love it when you follow along and study the precious Word of God with me. I'd like to share with you while you're looking it up in your Bibles that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. It's always a great time to come and study the precious Word. If you have an opportunity in Jonah chapter 4, I'm going to read the 11 verses. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. He was very angry, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness, and repented thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, dost thou well to be angry? And Jonah went out of the city and sat in the east side of the city, and there made a booth for himself and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of that great city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm, and when the morning rose the next day, it smote the gourd, and it withered. And it came to pass that the sun did rise, and God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished it himself to die, and said, It is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, Dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for which thou hast not labored, neither made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, to come, which are more than 6,000 persons, 60,000 persons that cannot discern between the right hand and the left, and also much cattle? Let's go to the Lord after the reading of His precious word. Father, I ask you that you'll guide and lead us as we go through this fourth chapter of Jonah. I ask for your wisdom, and I ask that you just touch every heart, that they'll on this very special day, as each day we open up the precious word, that it is a precious, sweet day. I ask that day they can come to know the Lord Jesus, that they'll trust in that precious free gift of salvation. It is offered because, Jesus, you went to the cross of Calvary and died upon that cross that we can live. But death did not keep you. You came out of that grave alive, victorious. Please, Jesus, that you will come into the heart of each and every person today. And I know that you are faithful to do that. If they will just call upon you today, they'll feel the tugging of that Holy Spirit, and they'll call upon you today and say, please come into my heart and save me. Lord, would you please that you just touch the hearts as we study this precious word today, that they'll come to know you, and then they'll not set you aside. Because if they're truly saved, there'll be works unto repentance. In other words, they're not working themselves through to salvation, but they will want to. They'll as the city of Nineveh, Lord, they gave evidence that they were turning. They put sackcloth on, tore their clothes off, put sackcloth on, sat in ashes, and didn't eat and didn't drink. And Father, please, that our hearts be that way, that we turn unto you and begin a walk with you. Now please touch our hearts as we study your precious word, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, this sweet, precious book, as we've been many weeks, as we've studied and looked at this precious word, we find this man, Jonah, after having the command of God to go, not going, receiving a second command to go in chapter 3, then going, and proclaiming, as it says in verse 4, yet in 40 days Nineveh shall be overthrown, and something happened that Jonah wasn't planning on. This whole city repented. And they expect probably about 1 million people, 1 million folks turn their hearts unto God. And not knowing, because the message we have here, yet in 40 days Nineveh shall be overthrown, Jonah preached the wrath of God. He did not tell them that if you would repent, if you would turn your heart, your life around, change and move from your wicked ways, maybe God would save you. He didn't say that. He said in 40 days, you're going to be overthrown. You're going to be destroyed in 40 days. That's all he said. Oh, it was a message that Jonah enjoyed preaching, because if you'll remember in times past, we've talked about that Jonah hated Nineveh. Jonah didn't like these people. They were Gentiles. Jonah was a Jew. He didn't see any reason why the Word of God should be proclaimed to these people. He saw no reason why they should have an opportunity to find and feel and see the mercy of God work in their lives. He saw no reason for that, because these people in Jonah's eyes were dogs. They were wicked, wicked Gentiles. And he saw no reason for their salvation. Now, I don't understand anybody. The desire of my heart is that everyone would hear this word. That's the reason that we put this program on the radio. That's the reason that we talk so much about the Lord Jesus, because that's the only thing this word speaks of. From cover to cover, it tells us about the love of God through one, Jesus Christ. Now, if you're just sitting back and say, you know, God is love and God will not condemn anyone to go to hell, you're in trouble, because He has given you a way, and that way is through Jesus Christ. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary to save you. He took your sins away upon that cross, and He took that load of sin, He bore it, He took care of it, and He put it away, never to be found. It says, from as far as it is, from the east is, from the west. There's never a time that those sins could be found out again. They're gone. But until you come by faith to Jesus, the Scripture says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans tells, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you'll call upon Him today, but that's your job, that's your responsibility, to call upon Him. If you'll come to Him, call upon Him, you're feeling that penetration, that Holy Spirit, please, today, come to Him. Today is the day of salvation. You know, this man Jonah here, he was told to go. He went, he proclaimed it, but it made him mad. We know according to verse 1, chapter 4, displeased Jonah exceedingly. He was very angry. Oh, Jonah was mad. He was mad that these people were saved. I keep scratching my head. I can't understand this man. You know, there's an awful lot of folks that have the same attitude as Jonah, I guess, because they don't, if they're preachers, they don't preach the gospel. They don't see the power of the Word of God. People today don't see the need to stand upon the truth, the Word of God. People today do not see the need or desire to be separate. You know, today everybody's told to join together, you know. Boy, the numbers are more powerful. No, God is powerful. The Word of God is powerful. Not numbers, I'd rather have a handful of people. I'd rather have a handful of people that believe the Word of God, the truth. Do not just believe in spots, but they believe the Word of God and they live the Word of God. I'd rather stand with those people than I would tens of thousands of people, as they would come together and supposedly worship and sing songs and all that stuff. I don't care for that. I don't want that. And I don't think God's happy with that. He wants a people that is called out, separated, and preaching the Word of God, that people will be saved. There's a multitude of people out there that call themselves Christians, that go to churches that are fundamental, strong churches, and yet they really don't care about a lost and dying world. Jonah here went, preached, watched, and saw a whole city, a citywide revival, one of the greatest revivals ever. He witnessed that, and it made him mad. Now, most of us are on the other side. We don't tell people that Jesus saves. We don't tell people how to be saved. We look at their religion and says, well, it's a little different than mine, but it's fine. No, it's not. If it's contrary to the Word of God, then you're no different than a cult. If you have compromised the Word of God, if you've added works to the precious grace of God, it's no longer a free gift. If you've added works like baptism or something like that to your salvation, you've got to be baptized to be saved, many of them say. If that's the way you say it, then that's wrong. If you've added anything, my friend, to the Word of God, I want you to listen. If you think that you have to pray to Mary and you can't go to Jesus because Mary was something special, Mary was a precious lady, a godly lady that God used. But Mary was just a normal human being. Virgin born Jesus. He's God. He's the power. We have the power to go right to Jesus because He died for us on the cross of Calvary. Don't confuse it with any other works. There are so many folks today that have changed, and Satan's so pleased with that because he doesn't want you to come to Jesus. He gets us so off track. He got Jonah off track. This man Jonah, he got him so far away that he was unhappy when this people were saved. Well, most people today don't get to the place of Jonah to witness a great revival like this. Most people today, as they sit there and they watch and they witness people come and go through their church, people come and go through their neighborhood, people pass through their way at work, and they don't give two thoughts about it. Oh, they go to this church, so I'm not going to tell them about Jesus. Well, maybe that church doesn't tell them about Jesus. You need to. And you know, we find more pleasure and happiness in the things of this world than the things of God. There should be nothing make us happier than for someone, anyone, young or old, come to Jesus, let alone a whole city. Well, let's look at this Jonah. How turned around the pride of Jonah, what happened to him? You see, Jonah didn't think that Nineveh, Gentiles, those dogs, he didn't think they deserved salvation. He didn't think they deserved to come to Jesus. He didn't think they deserved the mercy of God. And so, and then also he was angry when God showed mercy upon him. He even said, I knew God, you was going to do that. But you know, maybe none of us have had that opportunity to preach the gospel and preach the wrath of God and a multitude of people be saved. Well, that's what happened to Jonah. Jonah was mad. But he found an excitement. He found a joy in something here that I want to show you. We find here in verse 6, the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah that it might shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. Jonah was exceedingly glad. Look what made Jonah happy. Jonah was angry, it says in verse 1, exceedingly displeased and very angry, according to verse 1, when these people found the mercy of God. Now, it makes me unhappy when someone comes to Jesus, and then it seems as though they kind of turn away. Now, I don't know whether they're truly saved or whether old Satan just got a hold of them and has shown them things of the world. I don't understand. I don't understand when you come to Jesus, why don't you want to come and study the Word of God? Why do you want to spend more time doing something else? Well, this man Jonah may be just like you. Because Jonah preached the Word, and then he was angry because God had mercy upon this class of people that he didn't think was worthy to be saved. Jonah was very prideful. He was a Jew. He deserved it, according to Jonah. These other people were Gentiles. They didn't deserve it, according to Jonah. Jonah was very prideful. But there was one thing that we found that brought joy to Jonah's heart. Really one of the first times we have that. This gourd. Isn't that something? Here sits this little plant up over the top of Jonah's head, shadows his head, keeps him out of the sun. He was sitting there watching, waiting for the city of Nineveh in hopes that it would be destroyed. Oh, I see what they did, and I see the mercy of God coming down, but maybe, just maybe, maybe it won't be real. Maybe they'll get up after a few days, and they'll go right back to their wicked ways, just maybe, and then God can destroy them. Yeah, that was the wish of Jonah. What's the matter with Jonah? He found pleasure in this little gourd, this little plant, as it come up over and shadowed his head. He found joy in that. He found pleasure in that. Now, you look at your priorities. What do you seem to find pleasure in? You confess. Now, I'm talking to you, Christian, you that are supposed to be Christ-like, you that are supposed to walk after Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to look at your life. I want you to look at your heart. What really pleases you? Does it please your heart when you're teaching a Sunday school class? Does it please your heart when you come into the house of God and sing praises? Does it please your heart as you watch someone come down the aisle and say it? Does it please your heart as you sit down with your old Bible that the pages are falling out of because you read it all the time, and you're sitting down there and you're telling somebody that Jesus loves them, and Jesus died for them, and Jesus rose again? Now all you got to do is come by faith and be saved. Do you want the love of God brought across, the mercy of God come across your life? If you do, then please right now come down and come to Jesus. Will you please, please turn from your wicked ways and come to Jesus? Set your sin aside. You can do that by turning, and God does the rest. He said, does that bring joy to your heart? Or are you remodeling today? And you've just got one more room to finish. And boy, when I get that room done, I'll be so happy, and to hell with everybody else. That's exactly what you're doing if you got your priorities messed up. You need to be telling people about Jesus. You need to be helping them to grow in the Word of God and the power of God. This man Jonah found great joy, exceedingly great joy. He was so excited because of this plant that grew up over the top of him as he was watching, just to see if maybe these people would turn back to their wicked ways and God would go ahead and destroy them and all that, just make Jonah's day. Well, you said, I'm not doing that, Larry. I'm not... What if you're not out telling people about Jesus? There are people dying and going to hell around you every day. If there's people around you that attend church, and you know that church doesn't preach the gospel, but you say, I don't want to bother them. I'm not going to push my religion upon them. You're pushing the Word of God upon them, and you can't push anyway. The Holy Spirit does the pushing. All you do is the saying. Now, they maybe think you're pushing, but don't worry about it. I said a couple weeks ago, preach on, preacher, if you're preaching the truth, the Word of God. Well, I'm going to tell you, Christian, push on. Push forward with the Word of God. Oh, don't cram it down their throat. That's not our purpose. But our purpose is to go with the love of God and tell them. Tell them. If they respond and want Jesus, amen. If they respond and reject you, dust off your feet and move on. Go to the next house. Go to the next friend. Go to the next neighbor. What makes you happy? You got your eyes on a new car. Oh, my. I can't really afford it. But you know, if I take part of my tithe from the church, I think we can make it. You got your eyes on that new house. And you know, if I begin to work 6 days a week, we can make the payment on that new house. You know, I know there's going to be times I'll probably have to work on Sunday. But I'm sure it won't be very often. I'm going to take this new job. It's a better job than I've got. But when I take it, I know I'm working on Sunday. I know it. I know that I'm going to miss Sunday morning, but I can go on Sunday night. They got church there on Sunday night, so I can go on Sunday night and Wednesday night, and I'll never miss. Well, you know, it's not long that same person is too tired because they're working 6-7 days a week. They're not in the house of God. They're not hearing the Word of God. They're not proclaiming the Word of God. And that's what happens to you Christians, because you'd rather have a new house, a new car. That's what's the matter with you. You're stuck on material things. You're no different than Jonah, because Jonah desires the things. He was exceedingly glad over a gourd that grew up over his head. And if we'll follow down here just a little bit further, we'll find the condition of his heart, because God prepared a worm. You know, God did both these things. Prepared a gourd. I'm afraid that I'd been different than God. I'd let Jonah sit there and suffer. Let him sit there and suffer. I wouldn't have cared about Jonah, because Jonah, if he couldn't be happy over a city repenting and turning to God, then I wouldn't give him a bit of shade. Let him sit out in that sun. But God didn't. God prepared this gourd, covered it across his head. But he prepared a worm also in verse 7. And when the morning rose the next day, it smote the gourd. It withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did rise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die. He said, it'd be better for me to die than to live. We've had that before, down in verse 3. Therefore, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live. Because you see, he thought he was ashamed because he told them people they were going to die, and now it didn't seem like they were going to. And so instead of Jonah saying, I am so happy that God had mercy, thank you for allowing these people to turn, and God, I praise you that they turned, and go amongst the people and rejoice with them that God had mercy upon them. Instead of that, he said, oh, just kill me, God, because I've told them they're going to be destroyed, and now look at this. You know, Jonah had a problem. That problem was pride. He didn't think these people deserved to be saved, as we talked before. He didn't care for these people, hated these people. He saw no reason for them to have the mercy of God, but he found joy in this gourd. Well, now this gourd's gone. He's back to the same point again. God, just kill me. Take my life, God. I have had it. Now, isn't it something how Jonah can go from being so angry because God had mercy upon these people to so happy because here's this gourd up over his head to kind of shade him a little bit to so angry again because here come this worm up, killed this gourd, and now it is this vehement, this hot wind and this penetrating wind just kept hitting upon Jonah. You know, as that come upon him and now he's angry again, God just do away with me. I have had it. You know, Jonah found joy in a material thing, in that gourd, something God made. It says it right here. In verse 9, God said to Jonah, why are you angry for the gourd? He said, I'm angry to death. I'd just soon die, I'm so mad. And then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd. That worm killed the gourd, and you're so sad, you're upset. The gourd made you happy. You didn't labor to make the gourd grow. You didn't plant it. You didn't water it. You didn't do anything to bring that gourd to you. I did it. I had mercy upon you. Now you're angry because it perished. It came in a night, and it perished in a night. And now you're angry. Now, Jonah, will you think about what's the problem here? Things that make you happy, that's fine. But the things that make you angry, the saving, the mercy upon the city of Nineveh, God's saying to Jonah, there's a problem here. Jonah, will you look at yourself? And that same problem, we need to look at each other. We need to see that we don't have that same problem. Are you cheating God with your time and with your money because you'd rather have this gourd up over your head, something that seems to make you happy? But you see, all things are given to us from God. We need to praise Him for it. But there should be nothing bring any greater joy to our heart than to bring somebody to Jesus, to talk to them, tell them about Jesus, and then for them to respond and come to Jesus, that their sins be taken away. Again, the sweet gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. The Lord said to Jonah, you had nothing to do with any of this. What right do you have to be mad? Why were you so happy over a gourd that shaded your head and so angry when I showed mercy? I showed mercy to you by allowing that gourd to grow up. It's very clear the Lord did it. The Lord prepared, Lord God prepared a gourd to come up over Jonah in verse 6. Now, why can't I, in verse 11, should not I spare Nineveh, that great city? Why, when I showed mercy to you, you found such great joy in this little deed? In this small thing that took place, you found great joy, and that it just shaded your head just a little bit. Why don't you see the joy of having someone snatched from the ways, the steps of hell? They could be around the very steps heading into the pits of hell, and they were snatched right from that because of the mercy of God and the love of God. And God says, Jonah, why can't you see this? And why are you angry that I showed mercy to the city, to probably over 1 million people, and that didn't bring you as much joy as this gourd? My friend, what brings you joy? We've had this story of Jonah. We've spent many weeks on it. But it comes right down to one thing, and that is when God calls, you got that second job so that you can pay some bills, so that you can live in this new house, so that you can buy this new car, so you can drive that new truck. What brings you joy? Because where your treasure is, there's where your heart's going to be. So I kind of need to know. I don't need to know. God needs to know. But would you be as Jonah? Would you be angry if he would save a multitude of people around you? Oh, no, I wouldn't, Larry. I wouldn't be angry over that. Well, my friend, you've got the most powerful news to tell anybody. And that's that Jesus saves. Now, if you're not telling people about that, and you're spending more time in building up a mansion here, you're no different than Jonah. You don't care whether people die and go to hell. You don't care. Now, I ask that you wake up. I ask that you not be as Jonah, as this man. We don't know anything about the beginning of Jonah's life. We know nothing about the end of Jonah's life. God chose several things through his book to be recorded in the New Testament. He himself, Jesus himself, quoted, as of Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, so shall I be in the earth 3 days and three nights. But the beautiful pictures we have of this man Jonah, but you know, as we look at this and we find what makes Jonah happy, and we find what makes Jonah mad. Now, what makes you happy? What's your goals? Oh, Larry, just as soon as I get this paid for, then I'll start giving back to the church like I should, my time and my money. Just let me get finished with this. There's going to be something else. You've got to have a heart change. You need to come to Jesus. You need to live for Jesus. You listen about this man, Jonah. Let that haunt you just a little bit. Let it penetrate your heart. Because I want to know, what are you going to do about this Jesus?